Yeah, wild place where they got these cars that drive around for like hours and hours around the circle. And there's about 200,000 crazy redneck Americans that come to this thing called NASCAR. And one year, NASCAR invited us and said, Ivan, you're on a team. Won't you please come and share the gospel in the middle of NASCAR? And it was kind of one of these environments where it was like very awkward. We got 200,000 people and thousands of drunk guys, and they want us to share the good news about Jesus Christ. And we're like, okay, we'll come. We stood out there. And while we were preaching, while we were sharing, we were doing some things with sports. Guys were throwing beer bottles at us, and they're swearing at us. And like, it was very uncomfortable. We're in this place and just sharing the good news about Jesus. And there came a moment where we felt the Spirit of God just come on the place. And we shared the good news and shared about Jesus. And all of a sudden, we did an altar call. We said, hey, does anybody want to respond to the gospel? And literally hundreds, almost thousands of people came rushing up, almost pushed us off the stage, and the power of God came into the place. And it was a moment like this, where God just, by His presence, by His Spirit, just came into the place, and lives were changed. So don't underestimate being outside like this. God loves. This is how Jesus would probably have done it, probably without chairs, but He would have done it, have like spoken around us. And I think sometimes we get so formalized in church settings. So today, you can let your guard down. You can just really enjoy what God is doing in and amongst us. Is that cool? Well, is that helpful? Smile a little bit, then makes me feel a bit better. Like, yes, Sabi, that's good. Awesome, man. So this afternoon, we're really just going to share around what God is doing in and through us. And I think for us, last few of us, almost, how long have we been in Langebaan? 5, 6 months? 5 months already. Feels like 5 years. Is it 5 years or 5 months? It feels like 5 years. But really, God's been doing some amazing things. And sometimes it's good to just pause. So we can come here each week and we got Mike is ready with a word today. And we can come so easy and just preach to you and become a preaching center. We never want to do that. We want to know what God is doing in and amongst us and through us. So this afternoon, I want to have just a moment where just we're talking as elders and as leaders, just where we can just share what God's doing. And this is where you relax, like, okay, they're not going to preach and tell me about all the good things areas I need to change in my life. But as we talk, may God really come and impact your life. Mike, do you want to kick it off first? Are you ready? You're ready, born ready, this guy.
Awesome, go for it.
Cool, thanks. What did you say? Oh, thought that was my wife. I'm sorry. Anyway, so can I stand here? Is it okay? Everyone going to get a crick neck? No, it's good. Yeah, I'm blessed, literally. So I think today it was so interesting because I said to Stace, who's my wife, as she said, how's the prep going? And I said, actually, to be honest, quite terrible. Eh? Sometimes the Lord lines up certain things and it's like, He gives you a message, He gives you three incredible points, He gives a heading for it, and then there's a response and God's on it. And it's almost easy to prepare. And this time I said to her, it feels like notes on a page. And I was real with her when I got out the car. I said, she actually prayed for me. She said, Lord, please come and help me, man. Because it's a terrible thing. You're carrying a word, and normally it's like, hey, man, I'm so excited to share what God's put on my heart. And I just actually wasn't sure. And I asked the Lord, just in the car right now, before coming in, I said, Lord, if it's not of you, if this is not actually what you want to convey to your people today, won't you interrupt us? Not knowing that we were going to walk into a hall full of this. And so it was actually such a lack of surprise, to be honest. Eh? So, I mean, to do church outside. When last have you ever worshipped Jesus outside like this? No, it was quite cool. Eh? So, I mean, there's obviously been moments. But I think I was reminded in worship that actually sometimes we place so much emphasis on this. Brick and mortar. And actually Jesus said that actually we, as we come together, we're building something for Him to live by His presence. That we are living stones being built together to become a dwelling place that He would live by His Spirit. And so that it's no longer about this, or whether we meet in there or where we meet, but it's actually the people of God. And that's what He's most interested about. And that's He's interested as to where our hearts are too. And so I was kind of just wrestling with a few things in worship, going, okay, I don't want to just tag on some of the stuff that I was going to preach on. But I actually did feel one thing specifically. And then we want to give an opportunity, because I think it's that kind of day where we want to give guys an opportunity to just testify about God's goodness. That's what we felt. We're outside. It's like a sunny day. We haven't got this opportunity many times. And I asked the Lord to interrupt us. And it seems that He has. And often He gets us to do the uncomfortable things, but it's the things that actually break us open into the new of what He wants. And it was so funny. Ashley, where's Ashley? Ashley. There we go. Sorry. Ashley came in and she said, no, man, you must warn me when we do this, you know, because, you know, like, I don't like change. And I said, well, there's actually only one constant in God, and that's that we're constantly changing. Because he moves us as we behold him. Scripture says that actually he changes us into his image and in his likeness from one degree of glory to another. And so actually we change to be more like Jesus. If we're not changing, there's an issue. And so sometimes there's a deliberate like, oh my goodness, okay, what is this going to look like? What do you mean we're not going to be able to worship within the confines of four walls? What do you mean I must move my chair after we worship so that we can, it's like, I don't know if those things are so important to Jesus, if I'm very honest. I think we place so much weight, emphasis, and value on the things that actually are of not that much importance. I wish I could ask some of the guys who are kids' church. J.L. Moody, hey, Joe. We were at a training time yesterday. J.L. Moody said at the end of his ministry, he was asked, if you could redo anything, what would it be? And he said he would devote his entire ministry to kids. And that's a respected theologian speaking about the truths of God's word. And he said he had this incredible moment with the Lord where the Lord showed him actually the things that he valued were not really the things that he valued, that the Lord valued. And so he actually in the last parts of his life said, if I could do it all again, that's where I'd focus my attention. Because we often think, you know, well, this is the main meeting. And then like what they're doing in that classroom over there. It's like, no, we're singing about, you know, training the next 1,000 generations. It's like, what about this generation? What about now? You know? And so, yeah, I just want to say there's that line from The Chosen. I don't know if you're watching it, but it says, get used to different, you know? And, yeah, God does different things sometimes that we don't always understand and may not even agree with, but God's God, and we got to let him do it. And we stay in line. It's his church. So I'm going to share one scripture with you. Is that okay, Arv? And we can... Okay, so we were discussing somewhat of this at community in terms of our view of God. And so ultimately, I don't know if you've thought about this before, but ultimately your what you believe about God, how you see him, determines actually how you think and then how you act. So I've got a long testimony, but I'm not going to share it now. But ultimately, it's good to actually be able to land on what is my view of God. Like it's a very important question. How do I see him? And is that actually the Jesus that is seen in the Bible? And we looked at John the Baptist that, you know, he was an example of calling out from prison, going, sending his disciples to go and find Jesus and go, are you the Jesus that we've been waiting for or should we look for another? John the Baptist, his cousin that from birth was preparing the way for Jesus, is questioning in his last days. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. But here's another one. Luke 18:31-34, it says, taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans, and he will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise. Today I was actually going to speak about, I was going to preach on being teachable and actually having a posture, the posture of Christ, which is humility. So going against the culture of today, actually, to make a name for myself, to achieve, to, you know. And I felt that scripture and I don't know if you've actually read that scripture before, but it's not a teaching that wouldn't have been common to them. They would have grown up actually having read that in the prophecies of old. And, you know, like I was thinking to myself, you know, what did they miss? Because I'll read the next part now. But basically he said in verse 34, but they didn't understand any of this. The significance of his words was hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about. I was thinking, it's not a very, I mean, I don't know if anyone would agree with me. It's not the most complex message Jesus brought. He says, the Gentiles are going to take me. They're going to whip me, they're going to spit on me, they're going to mock me, they're going to kill me, but don't worry, I'm going to rise on the third day. And I was wondering, you know, with their perception of what they had read and been brought up in, you know, they were looking for a Jesus that was going, what do you mean? And I'm like, you're going to rebuild the temple, you're going to rescue God's people. You're going to be the one that, you know, in the end is actually overthrows Rome. And here he's going to kill me. And I wonder if their perception didn't actually change the way that they saw Jesus. But they were unable to see past it in that moment. And I think the question maybe that I was left with, and maybe I want to leave you with, is what perceptions, what understandings, what views do we have of God that actually might be not who he is, that he wants to actually come and highlight so that what you believe will be the way that you think will be the way that we actually act and live our lives. Is that cool? Yeah, so I think that's just a little bit that was on my heart. Cool.
Introduction for us. So, love what the Bible says. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy the strongholds. And the word of God says that we overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus being sacrificed, and the word of our testimonies. And it just feels like today we're pushing back, like pushing back a bit of the darkness. And through our testimonies, what is your perception of God, as Mike was sharing? If you think about Jesus, think about God right now, who is he? What is he? As we're singing these songs, man, God, you are awesome. You're worthy of it all. We sing these amazing songs. What is that perception? And Joe, I'd love to just ask you first and foremost, from community, you had a nugget that you, actually both, Galen, both of you come up forward right now. Just as they were talking to me earlier, their perception, as Mike asked this question on Wednesday night, what came to your mind? So Joe, why don't you start first, and Galen, you prepare thereafter.
Hold my hand. Sure. This is quite a moment. Just being in God's presence, and certainly, like earlier you said, that the Holy Spirit is here. He's moving over us now. And I was thinking back to in the beginning where the Spirit hovered. And just think of that. The Spirit is hovering over us now to minister to us as we share. On Wednesday at community group, Michael asked the question: What do we? One word: What is God to us now, this moment? Who is he to us? What is he to us? And to me, the first thought was, love. I mean, that's who God is, eh? He loves us. Yeah. No matter what, he loves us. But he's more than that. And to me, at this very moment, he is all sufficient. Mm. Sure. And what does that mean? Everything I need comes from him. And, you know, we've come through a bit of a windy road the past year or so. And very much when you're in that windy road, you want to go and do it yourself. And certainly what Michal was sharing earlier is that why do I want to do it myself? God is all sufficient. I take what is my burdens, my windy road, and I say, Lord, take it, it's yours. And he does it for me. And Psalm 23, the first verse is that the Lord is my shepherd and I will never lack. Sure. And in that lack, in that word lack, you find his all sufficiency. Thank you.
Hi. Well, for me, when Mike asked that question, it was, God is faithful. He has been so faithful to me throughout my life. And has it been easy? No. But God's word says we need to stand and hold on to his promises. And this is a scripture God has always given me, and I always go back to it. He always reminds me. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. God can be trusted to keep his promise. And And the last couple of weeks we've been hearing, what promise has God given you? What promise has he given you to hold on to? And the word is full of promises for whatever situation you find yourself in. And he is faithful to perform his promise in your life. We're to hold on. Do not waver. No matter what is going on around us, whether everything is falling apart, hold on. Don't look at the circumstances. Look to Jesus. He is the author. He's the finisher of our faith. And he will perform every word, because his word does not come back void. He says he will perform. It's come out of his mouth. And it has power, and we use his words to speak out of our mouth to release his power. And as we speak, he will perform. And we hold on. And when we moved here, we had a word from God to move to Langebaan. And we gave up everything. And we said, Lord, we can't afford at our age to, like, make any mistakes. And so we had, received counsel. And so we arrived here in July last year, and where we went, where we felt God was telling us to go, and literally everything fell apart. Everything. Within we arrived July, September, the car broke down. It was just too expensive for us to repair, and we couldn't sell it for a good price. So we ended up, okay, we'll have to just sell it for what we can. And where we were staying, we weren't allowed to stay there any longer. And we were both unemployed, and so now we're homeless, carless, and and jobless. And so it's like, okay, God, like, really, we have, like, laid down everything, because we've always lived with, Lord, we will go wherever you tell us to go, we will go. And we never wavered at any of that. And now it was suddenly, wow, Lord, like, did we hear? Did we hear from you? Like, did we make a mistake? And so it was like this up and down journey of hold on, do not waver, I'm faithful. And we've got some friends that we knew in Heidelberg, because that's where we come from, Heidelberg, just down the road, yeah. And they said, come stay with us. And shame, they've got a very small home, and there's three of us, and there's three of them in a very small home, but they opened their home for us. And we didn't know we were going to have to stay there 5 months. And it became difficult for all of us, because, I mean, when you've got six people in a little home, it gets tough for all of us. And we were just saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. And I couldn't find a job. Well, neither of us could. And I'm a preschool teacher. And so I started looking for work online. Like, literally every door just seemed to be closed. And we had to hold on. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me to green pastures. Mm. Hold on. He promises to do that. Yep. And so we had to learn to look to him and not at our circumstances. And then, so now we're without a car. We can get to church. Churches are all far, because our friends stayed just across. They were staying here in Laguna Sands. Laguna Sands. And so we could actually get to town. And now we can't get to church anywhere. We're new in the community. And church is about community. It's about people. It's getting to know people. We're saying, Lord, like, where can we go? And we're going to die. and internet is not the answer. Yeah. And so, and literally, we had that week, the Monday, we said, okay, Lord, it's going to have to be internet and us. And then our neighbors told us, do you know Josh Jen is opening here this Sunday? Yeah. And we were like, God, you brought Josh Jr. just for us. It's like, was such an answer. And we came, and we have been loved on by the leaders here and by everybody. It's just been amazing. It's been so, refreshing for us. And then we went to the Equip. And before that, we had a few couple of words saying, God sees. One of the ladies came and said to us, I see you've been going on a very windy road for a very long time. And it's just like, you keep on saying, Lord, there's the highway. Why can't we choose the highway? I mean, like, why can't we do the highway? Why do we have to do this, this road? And she said, God is saying, I'm in it. I'm in it. I'm with you. It's part of your preparation. So that was very comforting for us that we didn't get it wrong. And then we went to the Equip. And as we went up for prayer, the leader from Mount Boss, he comes up and he says, I have a word of restoration, 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 restoration over you guys. And he started to pray over us like he knew everything, like was happening. I mean, it was like how do you get them to know our mail? And he said, God is bringing you into a season of restoration. But before that, we have not, because not having a job, or I just started working like 2 weeks online. I mean, that's very slow going to build up students. And now we need to move. And we really felt God say, it's time to start trusting me for accommodation. And so for us, like, faith is an action. So in Heidelberg, when we felt God say it's time to move, we started packing boxes. We don't know where we're going because God wasn't specific yet. He said, you're going. So we said, okay, faith is doing something. So we packed boxes. Yeah. So, okay, where are we staying now? It's too small. Like, we can't pack boxes. Where are we going to put them? So he said, okay, faith is now start looking for a place and hold on to his promises. So we started doing that, and every door was closed. There's three of us. And so it's like, okay, there's two. So we were looking at one bedroom accommodation. Okay, now there's three of you, and then we have a little dog as well. So it's either the dog or the three of us, it's a problem. And so we heard of a place just before we went to the equip. And we came back, and that Monday, the place that we had seen, we were told somebody else was interested. We were told it's now available. So we get there, go look at the place, and then now they want 6 months bank statements. I mean, I don't even have a month's bank statements to say that we have an income. And so we thought, okay, Lord. And then we were having quiet time with Anthony. We were just praying. And then there's a scripture that says God holds the king's heart in his hand. So we said, thank you, Lord. You're going to hold. You're going to deal with the owner. And he's not going to worry about all the 6 months bank statement. He is going to, you know, and that God, you're going to deal with it. And then on the Thursday, he said, okay, we can have the place. And so hold on. Whatever your situation is. Hold on to the promise. Good. What promise has God given you? Mm. He is faithful to perform his promise. Yeah. Always look at the promise. Yeah. And it's because it is easy to look at the circumstance. It is easy. Yeah. Because we're people who live by sight. And God says, don't live by sight, but live by the word of God. Beautiful. And hold on. Beautiful. Amen.
Wow. Awesome. Beautiful, eh? Isn't that amazing? God is faithful. All sufficient. Right now, we're busy packing boxes. We're in the same situation. We're packing boxes. We don't know where we're going, but it's an action. Like, Lord, we're ready. Faith is an action. And we're like, Lord, lead us, direct us. It's beautiful in Langebaan. I heard, look at this. It's never wind in this place. It's beautiful weather all year round. Every day is beautiful. So, but again, we're in the same place. Like, Lord, we're available. Lead us. Is that encouraging for some of you? I think God set this up. I don't think. I know. God has set this moment up for us. Just simple words of encouragement from saints. Doesn't have to be a preach to you, but God in his gracious mercy sets up moments like this, kicks us out the hall, puts us outside, exactly how Jesus would be talking amongst us, just to encourage us wherever we're at. Cameron, I'm going to stretch you. Come on. You're going to share for a few minutes. You guys okay? Your bum's sore. Do you want to stand up real quick? Are your bums okay? A few more minutes? Go for it, Cam.
Okay, awesome. Okay. Okay, well, definitely my name's Kevin, not Brendan like last time. Yeah, I'll take the hat and the mic. Okay, awesome. Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome to have weather like this. It definitely doesn't happen all the time. But I just felt that I'd share something that I remembered yesterday. And I went to the kids' church in Darwa yesterday in Sunningdale. Yeah, very, very, like a super, super impactful. And I just reminded myself of something when we went to last year's equip. And we listened to a sermon from Ryan Kingsley. I forgot the name. But anyway, he spoke about forgiveness and just how much the Lord can forgive you. And he said one thing that really impacted me. And I really thought about it deeply and like how forgiven you are. If you really do believe in the Lord forgiving you, I mean, he forgets it like as far as the east is from the west. And that's just gone. Your sin is forgotten. And I always used to think sometimes of the sins that I've committed. And then I thought about it. It's like, you know what? I'm doubting the Lord's ability to forgive me. So if I surrender it and I give it to him, I'm like, Lord, just please forgive me. I need to remove that from my life because he's already forgotten about it. So why am I still remembering? So that way, it's just awesome just to remind yourself how forgiven you are. Even though what you've done in the past, he's already forgotten about it. And just take it from there. Awesome.
Lovely, yeah. Beautiful. Thanks, Cameron. Preacher, come on. Say, come on, Cameron, preach it. beautiful. Time for one more. Come, David. Where are you at in life? I picked on David a minute ago. Like, Dave, where are you? Where's your family? This is just like a is this okay? It's like family time where we're just catching up. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good, okay.
I've got a house. Yeah. Just, but I'm also be packing boxes soon, I'm sure. yeah, so I just, yeah, I can just praying for Ivan the last 2 weeks. I can really sympathize with him, where he's at, and Galen and Joe as well. We also, last year, the house was up for sale, and we also didn't have much of a plan where we were going. We just thought we're just going to move on to the next house and just carry on with life, you know. We had moved from the city to Bergfleet, Bergfleet to Blouberg, and we had kind of settled there a little bit, and we thought, no, this is where we're going to be. We had been sort of given a word to take our kids, our two boys, out of school and homeschool them in 2023. So that was kind of really exciting, but it also set us up, and this is the faithfulness of God that we just need to look at. Is God prepares us long before we start getting fearful. You know, that water was there long before God asked you to walk on it. Yeah. You know, it's just because now he's pointed to it that now you're fearful. And I can't say I wasn't fearful, because the time came where we needed to be out the house the end of January in this year, 2025. And, you know, we thought, okay, you know, as the months were going past, we were looking for another place, also just not really settled. And so, you know, 2025 came along and we needed to be out end of January. But I had it in my heart that the Lord put in my heart to pack everything into storage. Just pack everything into storage. So, and we started to pack things from the year before already, getting as much into the storage as possible. And I thought to myself, Lord, how much must I pack into storage? You know, like, I mean, is this just half the stuff? Like, you know, what is it? It's meant to just be packing into storage so that we move less into the new place, and then we have the freedom to take things out. And God has put in my heart, just pack that everything fits. And, you know, that voice never comes as clear as I've just said it, and we wish it did. But it comes in a still small voice in your heart, and you know it's not your voice. And anyway, so we packed everything, and we got to the day we were literally standing out the house, packing the last things into the car, and my wife and I looking at each other like, actually, where are we staying tonight? Like, this is, and we got the kids in the car, and do you know, again, like something in me just said, you know what, just go spend the weekend at Langebaan. So we just loaded the last things, hectically crazy. It's always easier to talk about it like this. Left my vehicle with a whole lot of stuff in it at a friend's house, because we just couldn't fit anything more in that storage. You know, like 25 or 28 square meters. Like, just, it was packed. Everything was in there. The kayak, the surfboards, the works. And so anyway, we shot out to Langebaan, and we're just going to take a breather. And we're just like, okay, we've been trusting the Lord, we've been praying, he's been preparing us, you know, he'll speak to us. And as we stayed through the weekend, we just felt, we felt a presence, but I can't say we were at complete peace, because we were still concerned about where we needed to be in the long run. And I don't want to make this a long story, but we actually ended up staying, like we never left. You know, and we were walking on the beach down by Purley's, and my wife and I had been in Langebaan before, and, you know, in our hearts, leading up to the time coming, for years, we always longed to have a certain environment for our children. And when we walked on the beach, it almost as though all those prayers and all those ideas just came like flooding in, and we just like, This is it. This is where the Lord's bringing it. The Lord is answering us those prayers. You know, there's that scripture in Romans 8. I think it's 8 verse 28. It says that the Spirit of God is making intercession for your souls. All right? for your needs, with words that your mouth cannot even utter. And for me, that is so powerful, because God, the Spirit of God, is praying for you for things that you don't even know you need, whether you're weak, whether you're strong, whether you're even unconscious, you know. And it's so beautiful. And anyway, so we were walking along, and I said to my wife, you know, I remembered my pastor when I was in a Table View. We would chat and we would pray together, and he said, "Dave, just don't go to a place where you can't fellowship." You know, and that was my thing. I didn't want to be in a place where I couldn't fellowship. And we prayed and we said, "Lord, like, we love this place. It's beautiful, but you need to make a way, because we don't know all things or how all things are going to come together here. And we want a place where we can fellowship." So our time came up in Langebaan, where we were staying, and we needed to kind of transition to somewhere else. And all of a sudden, every single place in Langebaan was not available. And we found ourselves in Jaserfontein. And we're like, what are we doing in Jaserfontein? Is that a Bobby there in the background? Ooh, Bobby, still love you guys, eh? So we ended up in Jaserfontein, and we stayed in a place just down the road where Josh Jen was meeting. Now, I'm not from Josh Jen. We were from a different church when we were in Blouberg. My wife's friend and a friend of mine as well, they had said, "Now there's a Josh Jen, you know, just go visit," because we had visited a church in Langebaan, and now we're in Jaserfontein. We're like, can there be any church? Like, is there any good that can come out of Jaserfontein? And the Lord said, yes. And literally, I kid you not, like 30 meters down the road, there was a Josh Jen meeting. And I just said to my wife, "Let's just go. I just want to worship. I just want to be, my heart's so sensitive to what God's doing." You know, when God takes you through something, your heart gets soft and it gets sensitive. And that's exactly what he wants you to do. He doesn't want to break it. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's close to those who have a contrite spirit. And he does not, the Bible says, he will not break you. A bruised reed he will not break. And anyway, so we came into the Jaserfontein congregation, and they said, "Where are you from?" And we said, "Actually, we're staying in Langebaan." And they're like, "Oh, that's great. We just planted a church in Langebaan." And we're like, "Oh." And so we stayed in Jaserfontein another 2 weeks. This is another long story, just meeting up with the pastor from Jaserfontein, my friend Henry and Miriam. They celebrated our two-year-old's little birthday with her. And it was this beautiful family out of nowhere, beautiful family. And we came back to Langebaan. Mark was waiting for us. Ivan was waiting for us. All the guys were waiting for us, and they're just like, "Hey," like, it's almost like they knew you. And God opened up a door for us to move into a house and stay there. And that was February, you know. And we're still here, and we feel the Lord has got us here. But we continue to pray. We're in a situation where it's still transitional. So we're still waiting for a few things to come into place. So we're still walking that walk. We're still trusting in the Lord. I just wanted to say, just the faithfulness of God. Psalms 37 says, "Do not fret." It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on him. Do not fret." You know? And I just thought, like, that's such an encouragement that we can really draw on that. But don't be afraid when the Lord puts you in that water where the only thing you can cling to is him. Because he's teaching you that his ways are higher. And that mindset that needs to change. And one of the scriptures that spoke also so greatly in my heart was, you know, it was that one about the don't put new wine into old wineskins, because the new wine will burst the wineskin. Don't put new cloth onto old cloth, because the new cloth will shrink and pull away. But the part that was so amazing was that no one that has tasted of the old wine goes to the new wine easily, because they say the old wine was better. And we really need Jesus to take that mindset and move it for us, you know. And that's what I really sensed him doing in my life, in my wife's life. He really shifted the mindset. And it was not so long ago, I was sitting on the edge of that play field, and they were worshiping inside here, and I was like, God, like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? What have you got me here for? And you know, it was as clear as day. The sun was going down. It's when we were meeting later. The sun was going down. It was shining in my face. And you know what the Lord said? He said, this is all for you, David. This is all for you, David. And Jesus is all for you. And that's what he's there for. And that's what he spoke to me. And that's what he said. He's all for you. It's all for you. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for letting me talk.
Got some preachers in this place. It's good. Beautiful, eh? Isn't it awesome how God orchestrates moments? So we couldn't have planned this better, Mike. The words, the threads, the tapestry that God has, that he's faithful. Bobby, maybe just jump on your beautiful instrument there, your beautiful steed. Just tie the threads together here and see what God's doing. So what I'm picking up from this is that God is in control. There's no coincidences with the Lord. The fact you're here today, there's no coincidence. Part of the tapestry. God's adding you. If you're looking at this church, seriously, pray. Consider. Say, Lord, where can I make my life count? You've got one life to live. One life to live. Make it count. Really make it count. And then for you, if you don't know the Jesus today, I think most everybody I look across, I know most of you. But maybe you don't know the Lord today. Maybe you don't know this Jesus that gives us this security, this life that we can trust. And God in his awesomeness sets up moments like this to tell you about the good news of Jesus, that he loves you. God loves you so much. That he sent his son on the cross over 2,000 years ago to die for you and for me. See, the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all messed up, fallen short of God's perfect standard. But he's made a way by dying on the cross, shedding his blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, that there is no forgiveness of sins. Blood had to be shed to forgive us of our sins. And God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to forgive me of my sins. I was 4 years old. I accepted the Lord. It's been a journey. I still make mistakes. I still sin. I come back to the Lord. It's an onward just journey with the Lord. Work out my salvation daily with fear and trembling. It really is that. But there's a moment, distinct moment when I was 4 years old, I lifted up my hand. I said, Jesus, I want you. I don't understand all the theologies of the Bible, but I recognize I needed Jesus. And today, you know, if you're in that place where you just want to make right with God and say, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I know there's a tug on my heart because that's you calling me today. Maybe with every eye, maybe just close your eyes where you're at. I want to give you this moment. Beautiful setting in Langebaan, probably the most beautiful day in Langebaan of the year, that God would allow this moment for you as a child, his child. He created you, formed you with a purpose, a plan for your life, but it starts by knowing him. He's the author of your life. He's the perfecter of your life. But you need to know the author. You need to know the creator. And he gives you moments like this to say, Lord, come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I've done things that are wrong. Wash me clean today, Lord. Maybe you've done that bit in the past. You've surrendered and you've, like me, you've messed up again. You say, Lord, I want to come back to you. Today is the same. Just surrender. Say, Lord, I want to come back. And as I said, I was 4 years old. I lifted up my hand. I didn't understand anything, but I know that that's an international sign of surrender, saying, God, I surrender my life. And as you lift your hand, it's an outward sign of what's happening in your heart. Not for me to see necessarily, but for God to see what's happening in your heart. It's a sign. It's an action that takes place. Say, God, as I lift my hand today, I want to make right with you. I know most of us have done it sometime in our lives, but if that's you today, maybe you've done it once, maybe today again, you just want to refresh your life and say, God, as I lift my hand to you, come into my heart afresh. Why don't you just do it right now where you're at? Just eyes are closed, people are praying. Thank you, God bless you. Anybody else? Just beautiful moment like this outside, saying, Jesus, come into my heart. I want you in my life. Thank you. You can lift your hand, you can put it down again. Anybody else this afternoon? Beautiful moments with the Lord. God, come into our hearts. We are for you, Lord. We want to make our lives count, God. We want to make our lives count. Bless you, God. Bless you, God. Thank you, Father. Awesome. Worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. And God set up this moment for us. And I'm going to pick up on the salvation part just now, but for us that are believers this afternoon. God's brought us together. I want to put the threads together for us. Firstly, be encouraged. Be encouraged. If you're facing things in your life, maybe you're packing boxes or just maybe chaos in your life, situations, circumstances, finances, relationships, whatever it might be today. As Joe said, God is faithful, all sufficient. He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. Trust the Lord. Walk daily trusting Him. Really, that's what God's saying to us today. Trust. Know that He is Lord. He's in control. Now, I would love it just for a minute or two, just where we're at. So I can easily just pray for us. I might have a good prayer for you, but there's something about us praying for each other. Just in this environment. So why don't we just like three or four of us, maybe three or four or five, just turn around if you don't know the person's name. Just find out their name real quickly. Say, hey, can I pray for you? You don't have to go deep. Pray for the person next to you. Like God will just give them faithful this week ahead. If they're facing challenges or struggles, just pray for them. But come, let's, as a family this afternoon, just pray for each other. Trust God to intervene. Bobby, you can just keep praying in the background there.